We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Life of David, Early Experiences, number 2, Setting the Stage. The Holy Spirit tells us that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And he's laid the game plan of the devil right out before us, which is a tremendous blessing. Because when we know how and where he attacks, it's much easier to set up a defense. One of the things we learn is in the very opening chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And all of a sudden, very mysteriously, the serpent appears. We had already learned that God looked at everything that he had created, and behold, it was very good. And the devil was a created angel, originally very good. But now all of a sudden, very, very quickly, comes a vicious attack. And it may just have happened on the day that Adam and Eve were created. It was very, very quick. Adam refused to obey God. He was supposed to keep or guard the Garden of Eden. He didn't do it. He allowed the serpent to come in, which was the first sin that was committed. Rebellion against God, really. And you know the rest of that story. One of the things we've mentioned over and over again as we begin our study of the life of David is that this is your story and mine. So it's pertinent to each one of us. We'll get into that later. But we find out here that David was attacked viciously right after he killed Goliath. And as you know, Goliath had tempted the army of the children of Israel for 39 days, day and night. Send someone down to fight with me. If he beats me, we'll be your servants. If I beat him, you'll be our servants. And Saul heard that as captain of the army and king of Israel. He was the king that the children of Israel wanted when they deposed God. He heard that, and his army watched him. They heard it too, and they were all scared stiff. And then on the 40th day, the shepherd David was there. And he took the challenge of Goliath, and all it took, in the name of the Lord, was one smooth stone. And the battle was over. And of course, immediately, David was well known and loved. He was very famous. But Satan attacked. And he attacked very, very quickly. A few examples. The women's song. The devil used that. And 1 Samuel 18, I'm beginning at verse 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. So David now had a prominent position in the army of Saul. He wasn't the leader, but he was pretty high up. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and in the sight of Saul's servants. The victory over Goliath was well known, spread like wildfire. And it came to pass as they came. So now David is going out as a member of Saul's army. Saul's still the king. David's the anointed king, but no sooner was he anointed than all hell broke loose. Remember that. So he's going out and fighting and is very successful. The soldiers were following him, the ones that he was over, they were following him as their leader. And he led the fight, and he was very successful at it. And also, so then it came to pass, and by the way, Saul was fighting in another with another group of people against the Philistines in a different part of the battlefield. And it came to pass when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that's Goliath, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. Saul is still the chief honcho. To meet King Saul with tabarets of joy and instruments of music. But they sang a song. They sang a song. And the song was this. The women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that was like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Saul was very wroth. He's upset. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He's watching David very, very closely. He is envious. And the envy is going to turn into hatred very, very quickly. We could almost say that the body of Goliath was still warm in the grave when this all popped up. And Saul, who should have been grateful to David, hated him. Then there's a story, and this happened very quickly. It didn't take long. Then you've got Saul's javelin, continuing the reading, and it came to pass on the morrow, this is the next day now, that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. This is very instructive. There was an evil spirit. And we know that the devil is the head of evil spirits. He's the chief honcho. And the devil controls the evil spirits. But God controls the devil. And so the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Remember this precious truth. Yes, the devil is very powerful. And the devil has free will. But God also controls the devil. The God we worship controls every single thing. If he doesn't control the little things, he can't control the big things either. But he controls the little things as well. Everything. It's all under command of the Almighty God. So yet, the devil took part in this. But God was the one that orchestrated it. The evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. Saul is pretending to be a prophet. He isn't one, but he's pretending to be one. Pretending to be one of God's chosen people. So David will believe that and let down his guard. And then right after that, and David played with his hand as other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. So whenever Saul was depressed, he wanted to hear a concert from David on the harp. But it wasn't only that. Undoubtedly, David was singing psalms. And when the word of God is present, the evil spirits have to leave. And so pretty soon, Saul started feeling pretty good. So here you have David plucking the harp and singing, and you have Saul with a javelin in his hand. And Saul cast the javelin at David. For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. So the one is playing a harp to cure Saul's wicked thoughts or his problems. And the other has a javelin and wants to kill the one that's doing it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. He was almost killed. He escaped by the skin of his teeth. There wasn't much distance between Saul with his javelin and David with his harp. And Saul knew how to do it. It was fast. It was deadly. David was almost killed twice. And this happened very, very shortly after David had killed Goliath. The devil is attacking very, very quickly. Whenever a spiritual gain is made, the devil tries to take it away. And this is your story and mine. We'll get into that in a minute. But for David, it happened very, very quickly. So David was captain over 1,000, I'm reading, continuing. Saul was afraid of David. The king is afraid of one of his soldiers, right? Okay. So Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And Saul had evidence of that. Saul knew how to throw a javelin, and he threw it with all of his might. And it was an easy shot, easy target. But it missed. And that was of God, and Saul knew it. Because the Lord was with him. That's why he's afraid of David. And that's your story and mine also, which we'll get into today. But remember it. And the Lord was with David and was departed from Saul. Both sides were true. Therefore, Saul removed him from him. I don't want to be close to this guy. And made him his captain over 1,000. So David is still a member of Saul's army, but now in a very lower condition, over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Let's remember this. The children of the devil are afraid of us. The evil spirits are afraid of us. Remember that. It's important. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So remember this. This all started with David killing Goliath. And very, very quickly, the devil counterattacked to try and take the real blessing away. We're not ignorant of his devices. So then the next thing that happened, and this happened very quickly also, Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David. The daughter of, first of all, it was Saul's son, Jonathan, that loved David, member of his own house, his own child. Now it's one of his daughters that also loves David. It's, God works in mysterious ways. And so she loved David, and the thing pleased Saul. Why? Why did it please him? Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare unto him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said unto David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. So now David is a member of Saul's family. That's funny. And Saul, you know the story of David and Delilah. She betrayed him to the Philistines. And that's what Saul was hoping would happen. Here, I'll give him my daughter, and she's going to turn on him, and I'll be rid of him. And all of this happened so very, very quickly. And the result of it was Saul was yet the more afraid of David. So the more Saul is fighting against David, and the more God is protecting him from David, from Saul rather, Saul is scared. And it's getting worse. And Saul became David's enemy continually. So you've got the king of Israel, the one that took the throne when they dethroned God and said, we don't want you to be our king anymore. We're tired of winning. Every time we go out, we win, but we want to win our way, and we want to win the way the heathen people do. And they've got horses and chariots, and we don't have. And they've got a king that stands before them, and they can see him, and we don't have that. We want to be like the heathen. So God said, well, you want it, you got it. You better watch out what you wish for, because you just might get it. So their king was deadly afraid of Goliath, and now he's afraid of David. And God is with David, and God has left Saul. And this happened very, very quickly. And now it's continually. Saul was yet the more afraid of David and became David's enemy continually. Every time the sun rose and Saul got up from bed, he was angry at David. When he went to bed, he was angry at David. He probably had dreams about it. He's hating David continually. That's the king that they chose. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. David was doing everything right. He was obeying God. Twice he had the chance of killing Saul, and one of his own members of his army, we'll get to that later, told him to do it. God has put your enemy right at your feet. All you got to do is nail him. And David didn't. Why didn't he do it? Because Saul was still God's elected king. That's why he's a member of God's control of things. And David knew that. And he did. He believed that God was going to take care of Saul, and he didn't have to fight his own battles. And that's a valuable lesson for you and I to learn. We don't have to fight our own battles. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit are going to take care of things for us, and a lot better than we could do it. So always remember that. So, okay. This is your story and mine. Over and over and over again, we've tried to mention this, that David's history is your history and mine. So, what are we meaning by this? This is your story and mine. Consider a few things. There were two kings here that we're looking at. King Saul and King David. King Saul was still in power. He had the throne, so he was in power now. But at the same time, David was the anointed king, God's chosen one, already anointed, but he wasn't in power yet. So it looked like the one was over the other. And that's true, but it was the opposite way. It wasn't Saul being over David, it was David really being over Saul. But outwardly it wasn't. So we could say that David was being hated by a chief member of the government, which was Saul over the people, and also of the church, the children of Israel. David had powerful enemies in the government and in the church. And David's greater son experienced the very same thing. Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor. And he's the one that sent Jesus to the cross, even though he knew Jesus was innocent. And he admitted it. This man hath done nothing wrong. Let him be crucified. Well, shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Okay, well, now their king is Saul. They chose him. And now they're going to reap what they sow. So a lot has to happen yet before David officially takes over. And so what we're looking at right now is the same time that you and I are living in. The last minutes, I almost said last seconds, of earth history as we know it. When Jesus Christ is going to come in all of his power and might and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the kingdom is going to be brought into existence and it's going to last forever. We're very close to that, but it hasn't quite happened yet. And that's the way it is with David. He's the real king, but he hasn't officially taken over yet, if you want to put it that way. So, okay, so a lot has to happen before David takes over. Number one, Saul hates David, and he keeps trying to kill him. And God's going to let that happen until the cup of iniquity is full. That's the way God works. So, number two, David suffers greatly. It was very hard trials that he went through, and there were times that he even said, Saul's going to kill me. So David is suffering greatly, and we're going to go through some of that, God willing. But at the same time, he's being richly blessed. Remember that. This is your story and mine. Number three, the Lord God has a set time when David is going to rule. And so there's a set time before Jesus Christ comes back. And this time was set by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. And no one can change it. And when that day comes, that set time comes, the Father's going to send his Son back into his creation the second time. Not like he did the first time, to suffer and die on the cross. But this time is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the real kingdom is going to be set up, which is going to last forever. And so the set time is there. That's very comforting. We don't know exactly the precise minute or second, or even day, I guess. But it's there. And it's close. When Noah walked out of the ark, it says at that time the days of earth were numbered. So the history of the world was numbered. Noah was living in the final days when he walked out of the ark. We're a lot closer than that right now. After all the years that have passed, we're very, very close right now. The end time is extremely close, and this is comforting. We've got to remember that. So God has a set time when David will rule. That's true. And so how this all worked out was that Saul, the king of Israel, left his army. The leader left his army and took a journey during the darkness of night some 10 miles away to consort with the witch of Endor. He's going to a witch for help. Why did he do that? Because he couldn't go to God anymore. He had forsaken God, and now God has forsaken him, and he knows it. So he goes to a witch. How are the mighty fallen? And he didn't have an appetite. He was scare-stiff. He didn't have an appetite. A couple friends went with him, and the witch of Endor encouraged him, well, you got to have something to eat. You got to journey back to your army. You got to have something to eat. So the witch prepared a meal for Saul. The Lord has prepared a meal for us too, but the Lord prepares it, not a witch. So he took the meal, went back to his army, and then the next day was killed. You want it? You got it. So then David began his reign, and it happened in two sections. The first section was he reigned over Judah, the tribe of Judah and Levi. And he was rejected by the other 10 tribes. But then the other 10 tribes were taken in, and after that he became king over all Israel. Picture here of the Jews and the Gentiles. We're living when he's over all of us. So we're looking now at the early experiences of David. And there's a lot involved here. There are more kings involved here. And it doesn't look like it. But the angels know it's true. And they're closely watching as things unfold. What are we talking about? This is your story and mine. So we go to the end of the book of Scripture, which is Revelation. And there are two verses there that are very, very important and instructive to all of us. One is Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And the other is Revelation 5, verse 10. And I'm going to read the context of these two things. And then you will see why this is your story and mine. Revelation 1. We're looking, starting at verse 4, and the key point is in verse 6, 4, 5, and 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kingdoms of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood Now here it is. And hath made us kings. Not he will make us kings. He has made us kings. We're kings right now. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, okay. A lot of times the Holy Spirit gives us things in pairs. Two is a number of witness. It's division, but it's also the number of witness. So here, God has told us we're kings already. Now in Revelation chapter 5, we read this. I'm starting with verse 6, but I'm getting down to verse 10. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, capital L, as it had been slain by the Father, not Pontius Pilate, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, capital S, of God sent forth into all the earth. The Holy Spirit's controlling things. Let's remember that also. Okay? And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. Remember the song that the women were singing? David has slain his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000. Well, here's a new song saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals there. Other people tried to take it, but they couldn't. Nobody could take the book. None of the angels could even take the book. But Jesus could. And he did. And he opened the book. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So it was by his shedding his blood for our sins. So he has the power. What does he read out of the book? What does he say? And hath made unto us, and hath made us unto our God kings. Not he will make us kings. He hath made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're in David's situation right now. We're anointed by God. Every one of us, every one of God's elect, we are kings. We are rulers. And we're going to reign on the earth. Oh, right now we're not reigning on the earth, but we're going to. And David had some things that he had to pass through before he officially, I hate that word, let's not use it, before he became the full-time king. He had some things to go through, and he was blessed in every single thing that happened. And that's your situation and mine. And it's going to happen. We are kings already. And we're going to rule in a kingdom that's going to last forever. So, to kind of put a bow on this thing, this is happening right now. And people have, some have begun to imagine here that, you know, the Bible's a living book. It's not a dead one. And it's a living book, and it's being unfolded right now, and you and I are in the middle of it. Thank God. This is happening right now. We are kings, and this was decided by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past, when we were chosen as a very small remnant. There aren't very, very many kings. There's one real king, full king, and under him are other kings, a very small remnant. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change it. Father is in full control of every single thing that happens, and the Son is in full control of everything that happens, and the Holy Spirit is in control, dwelling within us, full control of everything that happens. If God be for us, who can be against us? So David is a type of Christ, but he's also, it's a double type, he's also a type of every elect child of God. His story is our story. We are anointed kings. Goliath is dead. He's down in hell. And we follow Jesus, and we deny ourselves like he did. We take up our cross as he did daily, and we follow him. And it is only until the set time when all of this is going to change. And we'll take control of our kingship. It is a real blessing to know that. So, remember two things. Number one, remember who you are. You are an elect child of God, the bride of Jesus Christ. Remember what you are. You are kings and priests. Well, one thought, if we're kings, who are we going to rule over? Perhaps the angels?